Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you. Now I was breathing, but not alive. And all my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my
glorious name. should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say,
yeah. By the power of his name, demons have to flee. By the power of his name, men are set free. By the power of his name, by the power of his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. By the power of his name, darkness has to flee. By the power of his name, darkness has to flee. By the power of his name, people are healed. By the power of his name, people are set free. By the power of his name, the Lord says unto his people this day, it's by the power of his name that you stand in this place today, forgiven of your sins, freed from your debts, in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord praise today.
Around.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and love him today. Lift up your hands and love him today. Standing on holy ground, standing in his presence, standing confidently, confidently in his presence on holy ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read a passage of scripture to you this morning that comes from the book of Acts, chapter number 4. It simply says, gives us an account of what happened to Peter and John as they set a precedent for what should happen to you when you have a divine encounter with the Holy Ghost. You come into salvation. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you know, all of his life, he's bid you to come. Now he tells you to go. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And you could add there about Jesus. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they just put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. How many of you know not a word you speak for Jesus returns void? Come on. In fact, I'd kind of like to get results like this. They spoke, and the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000 people. Come on. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. Let me ask you something. By what power or what name did you do this? All these healings. By what power did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers, elders of the people, if we're being called in account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how the man was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." That name is still causing controversy today. Did you know that? But I can tell you something. Listen, I was so blessed today. I started out early this morning, and I made a stop into the nursing home in Creekside over here, just beyond the church. And I went to see Robert Hurdle. Robert's online right now. I just saw him. He's faithful to be with us every week, but he just can't get in the building. He can't walk. He hasn't stepped a step since January. And I was listening on the way to church, you know, preparing my mind, preparing my heart, preparing my spirit for today. And I just heard that song, "Speak the Name of Jesus." I speak Jesus. And so I took my phone in the room and I said, "Have you ever heard the song, I Speak Jesus?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, this is your song, man. This is your song." And I set it up on his bedside table, and I cranked it up just as high as I could get it on this iPhone. And I shut the door and I said, "You listen to every word of this." And we sat there and just rejoiced and just believed God, because you see, I'm petitioning you right now. This is prayer time. I'm petitioning you to join me, and not just you, those who are watching online, because tomorrow, Monday, is a pivotal day for Robert. He doesn't have a hip. He's been laying in the bed with no hip. He hasn't stepped a step since January. And he is so filled with hope. He's so filled with faith. He looked great. He's so filled with hope laying there in the bed. He said, "Pastor, who else could I turn to?" Come on now. Who else could I turn to? Who else could I turn to? Man, it's kind of like, you know how it is, Pastor Mike. You go to minister to somebody in the hospital, nursing home, and they minister to you. I was thinking, wow, man, this, yes, sir, Lord. I want to get saved this morning. Come on. I said, "You know what, Robert, you're right. No other name could you turn to than the name of Jesus." He said, "You know what? They've talked to me. They've tried to get me to say, hey, you can look, just go on Medicaid, turn everything over to us, you know, and you won't have anything, but, you know, we'll take care of you, you know. No, 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 no. That's not where we're going. Because we speak the name of who? We speak the name of Jesus. Amen. And so I said to him, I said, man, I'm going to believe that tomorrow is the pivotal day for you. Tomorrow that doctor's going to come in there and say, Robert, we're going to give you a hip. We're ready to do this. Because he said, Pastor, if they don't do that, they're kicking me out. My Medicare is down to nothing. They won't even pay to transport me back to my own house. He said, I am done. I have to have this miracle. And so I just need somebody to... Bring me my preachers down here. You guys that are ministers of the gospel, come on. Come on down here this morning, because I'm going to send you some others, okay? But first we're going to pray for Robert, okay? Come on down here. I got preachers in the house today. That's right. Come on. Turn around and face the people. Amen. And here's our missionary friend today. He's a guest, and so we're going to treat him like Robert today. His name is Robert. Say, hey, Robert. Okay? So you guys just gather on around him, and let's lay hands on Robert right now. And I need a woman to come. Give me a woman this morning. Sister Hart, would you be Mary Harper today? Come on, stand up here and be Mary Harper. Some of you ladies come and lay hands on Sister Hart. Mary Harper, scheduled for open heart surgery on Friday of this coming week. She's not afraid. She said the same thing this morning in a text message. Oh, Pastor, I'm excited that God has me in the hands of Christian doctors, and I'm believing the better days are coming right now. So, Mary, if you're watching right now from Mississippi, we're just going to let Mary stand right here. Her name is Harp, but that's Mary today. And I just want us to believe, because the Bible says, if any two shall agree as touching any one thing, the Bible said it shall be done. I need a child in the building. Do I have a child in the building? Somebody give me a kid. I need a little kid, a small kid, little kid about my size. Amen. Amen. Give me a small child. Praise the Lord. There you go. Come on up here. We're going to call this girl today, we're going to call her Miracle. Come on and stand over here. Because Miracle is the granddaughter of Sister Margaret Speller, who came home this week, was airlifted back to Duke, came home again, was airlifted back to Duke yesterday. Enough is enough, okay? She's been in the hospital. Come on. She's been in the hospital for 2 solid years of her life. It's time she come home. It's time that God do what God can do. Amen. So come on, somebody stand and let's believe God that as we pray for a little miracle right here. There you go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. By what authority, Peter, do you pray? By what name do you say all this happened? He said, well, if we're being called into account on because of these miracles, we're just going to tell you it's in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's petition the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, come on, stretch your hand out this way. Those of you who are praying online with us, thank God that you're standing gap today. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you declaring, Lord, that your name is above every name, Lord. We thank you, God, that we can come sit together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus and bring our petitions before you. God, we thank you that today it is not impossible, God, that you would touch Robert Hurdle in the name of Jesus, that you would strategically change everything right before his very eyes, God. May tomorrow be a pivotal day. May, God, you can even do a creative miracle and give him a hip laying right in the bed, God. I pray in Jesus' strong name that you, God, would manifest your amazing power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine. In the name of Jesus, God, I lift up Mary Harper right now. Father, we stand in the gap for her, God. A major surgery that she faces this week, God. In Jesus' strong name, I pray that you would go before her, be her rear guard, be the glory and the lifter of her head today. And God, as we depend on you today, God, we trust in the name of Jesus that is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and they feel safe. They feel secure. They feel healed. They feel confident, God, because of who you are. And God, we stand today for miracle. We're asking you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would manifest your amazing ability that goes far beyond our thoughts or our mental faculties, God. Touch this little girl in Jesus' name. 2 years of her life, God, she's now spent in the hospital. But God, we're praying that you would just touch her in the name of Jesus. No more airplane rides. No more trips quickly to the hospital. In Jesus' strong name, we're just believing you. Come on, worship team. Come on, sing that holy ground for just a moment. And I'm going to ask as you go back to your seats, you preachers, stay right where you are. If you're sick in your body this morning, I want you to step out. If you're sick in your body, I want you to come out of your seat and let someone anoint you this morning and pray for you. Come on. Don't pass this moment up. Don't pass this moment up. If you're sick, come on to the altar. If you need to be prayed for today, come on to the altar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, if you got a need in your body, come on and let God touch you today. Hallelujah. 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 Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. The God who does not fail. The God who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. The God who heals. The God of revival. The God of transformation. The God who's able to do everything you could ever think or imagine. God, in the name of Jesus, we curse every cancer. We curse every lying spirit in Jesus' name. And we release today an infusion of your power and your greatness among your people today, God. Touch those online who are watching, God, in Jesus' name. Touch them now, Lord. Touch them now, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Friends, let me tell you something. The days that are coming before us, I believe God's going to do an incredible shift among His people. I believe in the last days here, you're going to see a tremendous onslaught of the enemy's tactics. And I believe that God's going to position the body of Christ. He's going to put believers in the marketplace. It won't be an uncommon thing to go into Walmart and see people praying in Jesus' name. It won't be an uncommon thing to see people laying on the hands on the sick and seeing them recover right in the middle of Food Lion. I'm believing that God will release an army of people, God, who are hungry for the Spirit, who are hungry to see God move
and do exploits in his name. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and love him this morning. Lift up your hands and love him today. Jesus, Jesus, speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe you for it, God. We believe you for it, God. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did we pray for Missy Tapscott today? Did we pray for her? Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're believing God to turn it all around completely. Amen. That cancer be gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let us miss anybody. Don't let us miss anybody. Listen, there's no reason why you should walk out of here defeated. You should walk out of here today encouraged in your faith. You should walk out of here today feeling like, go ahead, devil, make my day. I'm ready for anything. You should walk out of here today on fire for the Lamb of God today, on fire for the King of Kings today, on fire, ready to meet the challenges of the evil one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says if one can put 1,000 to flight, come on now, two can put 10,000 to flight. Let somebody join with you in prayer and the power of agreement and watch God do incredible, incredible things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him. There you go. Worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. Well, you can be seated in his presence. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for joining us at Carpenter Shop International Church. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of the Lord today. So good to be among believers of like precious faith. Thank you for praying for us. Pastor Joy and I were on ministry assignment this past week in, where were we at? Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And thank you for praying for us and also releasing us to do ministry outside of the confines of this facility. You know, God has given us a tremendous opportunity to bless other churches and bless other pastors. And we were able this past week. I'm going to ask you to pray for a pastor in Fort Lauderdale. I'm not going to release names, but this dear lady was so burdened down. She pastors a church. She's an amazing preacher of the gospel. She's never been married. And I've preached for her for probably 6 or 7 years now in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And amazing congregation. I thought we were multicultural, too. I went to her house. Man, there's probably 25 nations of the earth represented in that building. An amazing South Florida church. And we just, we arrived there this time, and she was just so laden down with frustrations and burden because of the impending death of her mother. And we were able to minister to her and just believe God with her to raise her mother up and just have his will in her life. You know, it may be time for her just to move on to that celestial city. You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's a lot of things worse than death. Come on, somebody. But if it's not God's time for her, then listen, I'm always going to pray healing. I am. I'm going to pray healing. You know, when God wants to step in and release somebody from challenges on this earth to life eternal, that's his business. But I'm always going to pray for God to just raise those individuals up. So we ask you to join with us as we pray for this dear pastor in these next several days. Able to minister to in the marketplace. I don't know if you saw it. I don't put a lot on Facebook while we're gone. But I put a picture in there of a Dunkin' Donuts. How many of y'all saw that? It was a Dunkin' Donuts. We walked into Dunkin' Donuts and they have two conference rooms in Dunkin' Donuts. I said, man, what in the world is this? And they said, oh, they allow Christian ministries and other, you know, civic clubs and things like that. You can rent their Dunkin' Donuts conference room for $15 an hour. And so we were able to meet there with Christian leaders in Western Florida and just buy a cup of coffee and give them $15 and you can meet. And no restraints. And what an incredible opportunity to meet with leaders of the faith in a coffee shop in Florida and just talk of the good things of God. And so pray for them. It's a church called Vertical Church, and they're running thousands of people there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And one of the strengths is their small groups. They have 65 active small groups in the church that are just knocking it out every week. And listen, I want you to pray for a spirit of hunger. Come on, say hunger. a spirit of hunger among God's people. If you get God's people hungry, there's no stopping, no telling what God can do in a house of worship if you get God's people hungry. Amen. Amen. So thank you for praying for us and allowing us to minister to people along the way and to preach away and to do some incredible things. We're so blessed because when we're gone, you know, you have people step up to the plate. Just an amazing opportunity. Pastor Mike was here. I saw your baptisms. Amen. I was there. Come on. I was there. Service didn't start there till 11, so I was with you at 10. And I saw y'all baptizing people and feet flying up in the air and water flowing all over the place. Y'all looking like y'all having a pool party in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. And I said, man, what a glorious thing. You know, that. Listen, when the senior pastor's gone, it don't stop nothing. Come on. It don't stop a thing. If you build a church that can function without me, then you got something good on your hands, all right? And so I thank God for leadership that can just continue to move forward and do the thing that need to be done. And we will preach away a little bit in the month of May as well, preaching a revival service down in the Outer Banks here in the coming weeks. And so whoever's speaking in my absence will stay the course and preach that same series. We just finished up the series, walking in the steps of Jesus and seeing what he did. Last week he walked to the upper room and people, you know, were blessed to have opportunity to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And today we start a brand new series called Heartstrings. And we're going to be in the month of May, we're going to be talking about the book of Psalms. We're going to be preaching four messages or so from the book of Psalms. So we're excited about that. I'm excited that you're here today. Amen. And I'm excited that you're getting ready to write a check for $1,000 to Carpenter Shop International Church this morning. You didn't know you were going to do that, did you? You spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D, just in case you wondered. Well, it's really not about the amount. It's about the percentage. We call it the tithe. It's a tenth portion, okay? If you made 1,000, it's 100, okay? If you made 2,000, it's 200. So it's easy math. If you need help, raise your hand and I'll send somebody to you with the calculator, okay? All right. Praise God. No pressure, just commitment. That's it. So Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the gifts of faithfulness from your people. Thank you, God, that when we do tithe, you rebuke the devourer for our very sake. You keep him off of us, Lord. When you pay our bills, you give us more than we could imagine with 90% of our money. And God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you as you give. Come on and drop your funds in the buckets as we prepare to preach the word today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for your giving. Heartstrings. The Psalms are beautiful books. I don't know about you, but I turn to those Psalms quite a bit. And if you don't know what to read or how to, you say, well, I just need an organized study. I'll tell you, there's nothing any more simple than a proverb a day. If it's the day's the first, you should be reading Proverbs 1. Amen. Tomorrow's the second, Proverbs 2. If you'll read a proverb a day, God will infuse you with wisdom every day of your life. Amen. And you read a psalm and a proverb every day, and God will do amazing things in your life. Well, it's so good to see you. Y'all got me panting like a $40 plow mule up here. I'm excited, but I'm ready to preach the gospel. Is that okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Heartstrings. We're in Psalm 77 today. And we're excited about what God is going to say to us. Psalm 77, say amen when you have it. Psalm 77. I'm just going to save some time, and I'm going to speak this message to you expositionally. That simply means just going down the page verse by verse. No fancy points, no beautiful slides or nothing like that. Just verse by verse, and let the Word of God speak to you. Psalm 77, I cried out to God for help. Come on, you ever done that? I cried out to God for help. And then there's a semicolon there, which means the thought is not finished, okay? Matter of fact, he says, not only did I cry out to God for help, I cried out for God. Look, I'm not worried about the answer, but I just want to make sure you hear me, okay? Anybody got that? I'm not worried about the answer, but I want to make sure I got my... Have you ever got a message from somebody? I did this week. Sent a message to two people. And I know, I got the thread right here. I text two people, okay? And one of them got it and the other one didn't, okay? And I sent it. It's there. Both of their names. I said, well, maybe I got the number wrong. So I checked the number. And you know what? It took about 30 hours or more. And the other person finally said, I just got your message. Listen, that's many a marital conflict has started over stuff like that. Okay. I said, Joy, I text you. You did not. I said, I did. And you throw it right up there in their face. There it is right there. I text you at 11:32. Well, I didn't get it. There's my phone. Don't you see? I didn't get it. Sometimes you're just not heard. Amen. Sometimes you're just not heard. This psalmist says, I cried out to God. I want some help. As a matter of fact, I just want to know he hears me. There must have been a resolute faith in the deepest part of this man's being that if he said, if I can just get the message to him, I'm not worried about his response because he's faithful. Come on, somebody. He's a faithful God. If I just know he hears me when I pray. Amen. We've cried out to God before and didn't have the confidence that he was hearing us. Some of us have felt that way. Notice this ministry leader who is in the position of leading others in worship. That's a tremendous responsibility. He's a person, his name, if you look up at the top of that psalm, it says this is a psalm of who? Asaph. If you do any studying at all, you'll find out that Asaph was leader of a guild of musicians. They played instruments like you see on this platform. He was leader of the worship setting. And he found himself in a posture where he's not really convinced that God is hearing him, much less in a place of returning him an answer. The man was from a guild of musicians in the first temple. He was a leader, and I even looked at his name. His name, Asaph, means to gather people. Just his name is an indication that God had a mantle of anointing on his life to pull people together. Amen? And so he has to be on his A game. Come on, somebody. He has to be on his A game. He has to be encouraged. But here, he exposes himself in this psalm that he's not very encouraged right now, but rather he's discouraged and he's distressed. So look at verse number 2. When I was in distress, see, if you let the word preach, the word will preach all by itself. He says, when I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I got a big old clock on my dresser in my bedroom that has letters about 5 inches tall. That's because if you pull glasses off this boy, he can't see his hand in front of his face, okay? I'm just about blind in my left eye and can't see good out of my right one. And I tell you the truth, I could not tell you who's sitting on the front row in this church without my glasses on. That's the truth. I can't tell you. I see images. I see men as trees, if you know what I'm talking about. But when I put my glasses on, I can tell you who you are. Okay? And so we have to understand here that there was a simply a night for this guy that he just stretched out, he said, untiring hands. The reason I mentioned the clock is last night, you know, I looked and I woke up, whoa, it's time to get up. And I looked at them big 5-inch red numbers glaring off my dresser and it said 1:15. I said, nope, not getting up now. Okay, not getting up now. So I thought, well, I fall back into a sleep. And I was falling back into a sleep, and I slept, and then I thought, whoa, I better get up. I'm going to be late for church. 2:45, come on. Well, I got a nap. Come on, somebody. Got a little nap. 2:45. Well, I said, well, I'm not getting up now. I don't have any reason to get up. Lord, you want me to get up? No, I'm going back to sleep. So I fell back to sleep. Man, I slept like a baby. 3:15, woke up again, okay. This ain't sleep, this is trouble right here. So I did this all night, okay. I mean, I went from 3:45 to 4:15 to 5:02, and finally I just said, you know what, man, this is crazy. I'm getting out of this bed, okay. So I got on up. I said, I got things to do. I'm going to see some people before church today. And I said, I'm just going to get on up and get busy. He said, when I was in distress, I had these untiring hands stretched out. Now, Asaph didn't do like me. He's tossing, he's turning. He didn't even fall back to sleep and get him a nap. He was distressful. That word is translated troublesome. It is translated unsettling. It is translated disruptive. Have you ever had any disruptive nights? Come on. I'm speaking to some people today who know what I'm talking about. Verse number 3, I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I've always loved this verse. Here's the translation of it. God. Okay? God. Yeah, right. He's having a yeah, right moment. You ever had any yeah, right moments with God? I have. Like, Lord, I've been praying on this for a long time. Ain't seen nothing yet. You ever had any moments like that? Come on, be honest. Where you really wondered if God was going to come through for you, okay? You go to church and you sing, He's the God who cannot fail. You hear people say, God does exceedingly abundantly. But you say, yeah, right, okay? I've been praying on this for years, hadn't seen anything happen. So he's having one of these yeah, right moments, okay? He says, I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. In fact, he goes on to tell us, his spirit grew faint. That means in the spirit, he was what? Weak. He was weakened in his spirit. Not much there. Remember now, he's a worship leader. So he really should be on his A game. He really should have his stuff in order, have his ducks in a row. But he's not really encouraged right now. Verse number 4. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. He found himself in a position like many of us do from time to time. Sleepless nights. He could not rest. He could not calm. He could not find any solace. That was at night. That was during the night. Then at daybreak came. His countenance was one of gloom. This man who used his heart, his hands, and his voice to declare to the people of God the goodness of God can't even find room enough in his own life to express himself. He said, I'm so troubled, I can't even speak. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, hey, man, are you okay? And you lie to them. You say, yeah, why? You're just not, help me here, you're just not yourself. There you go. You're just not yourself. You know, you're not the normal, bubbly encourager that you are most of the time. But you're not acting like yourself. Have you ever had anybody in the church to say to you, is John okay? You say, well, yeah, far as I know. Why? Man, he just don't act like himself. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. This is Asaph right here. He says, man, I'm so troubled, I can't even speak. Have you ever found yourself or had someone to call you into question on your own state of mind? Are you okay? We've all had that to happen to us. But you've discovered, even though you might have lied to them, that you are in distress. The devil has had a heyday on your soul. And John 10:10 teaches us that's his mission. John 10:10 says the thief comes only, This is his assignment to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. I told our school of ministry class yesterday, we taught on relationships and ethics in the ministry. And I told them, I said, listen, that's the mission of the devil. Whenever you say to yourself, and whenever you tell God, Lord, I'm moving forward in what you've called me to do, when you acknowledge that you're moving forward to a place of ministry, I promise you, that's the day when you put a bullseye target on your back, and the devil has one thing in mind, and that is to distract you, to take your eyes, your spirit, your whole spiritual man off of the confidence that God has upon your life with his calling. He wants to keep you distracted. I told them, listen, you may not be a candidate to go down to First and Maple and buy yourself a crack rock. You may not be a candidate to go down to the American Boys College, the ABC store, and get you a fifth of Jack. Okay? You may not be a candidate for that, but I tell you what you are a candidate for. You say, well, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do drugs. God deliver me from all that. But I tell you what you are a candidate for, to be distracted. To be distracted, to have the enemy to send something your way or to use some circumstance to get your mind and your spirit, your soul, off of the things of God and on to your own circumstance. That's called distraction. Anybody listening today? You know what I'm talking about? You become distracted. In fact, Jesus told Peter the same principle. He says, the devil has come, Luke 22, 31 and 32, the devil has come to sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, Peter, then go back and strengthen your brothers. In other words, Peter, you will go through a hardship, but you're going to get to a place where you're way out there, Peter, but you will turn back. And he said, when you do, strengthen your brothers. Paul said, I comfort you with the comfort I myself have received from God. Come on. Some of y'all been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt of discouragement. You can talk about depression today. But you know that there's a God who loves you. And on the other side of that hard place, you were able to minister to someone else. Amen? I love the rest of that verse in John 10:10. He says, Jesus says, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. Listen, this hard place that you're in is going to come to an end. God is not finished with you. Trials are temporary. If you're keeping up with us on the app this morning, the whole sermon's on the church app. Thank you, Sydney. If you're keeping up with us, trials are temporary. You need to write that in there. It's a blank spot on your outline. Trials are temporary. They're not forever, okay? You say, well, I don't even like that they come. Well, trials mold you. Trials shape you. Trials make you into the giant in the faith that God has ordained that you be. That's why the Bible declares this in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith does what? It produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I don't want to be mature. I know some of you act like that. I don't want to be mature. Listen, God gives you lessons so that he can increase your level of spiritual maturity. I know it hurts. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's hard to thank God for hard places, isn't it? It's hard to thank God for challenges. And you know, I used to just complain a lot. But now I've come to understand that if there's a trial in my path, wisdom of God says, okay, Lord, let's talk about this. Okay? Let's talk about this. Okay? What are you saying to me? Okay? He that lacks wisdom, the Bible says what? Let him ask. Okay, Lord, let's have a talk. What in the wisdom of God are you trying to say with me? One brother said, what in the ham sandwich is going on in my life? If that's what you have to do to avoid cuss words, use all the ham you can use, okay? Okay? What in the ham sandwich is going on here? Pastor, where'd that come from? That's a word from Alvin Slaughter, okay? What in the ham sandwich is going on here? God is using this trial to strengthen your faith. Don't get stuck in that place that you find yourself today. Some of you here today are discouraged. Some of you here today are frustrated. But can I just tell you something is temporary? It's not forever. You have to look to God who has an amazing track record according to the Bible. It's a process, and you work through it step by step. The psalmist found himself even questioning God. Let's pick it up again with verse 5. I thought about the former days. Here he is laying there now thinking about, you know, he's not sleeping. Come on, the Bible already told us that. So he's laying there thinking. He says, I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my song in the night. He remembered laying on the bed. Amazing grace, how sweet. But he ain't singing tonight. He said, I remembered my songs in the night. I remember when I would just get up and sing of the praises of God in the night, okay? He said, my heart meditated, and my spirit began to ask. I used to be up in the night singing, but Lord, I got some questions for you tonight. Here they go. Verse number 7, will the Lord reject forever? Lord, you're rejecting me. Are you gonna reject me forever? Are you never going to show your favor again? Verse 8, are you going to let your unfailing love vanish from my life? Or are you going to fail in your promises? Y'all see this, don't you? I'm not making it up. This is the worship leader. This is the one who's called by God to lead the rest of us into paths that we cannot go down on our own all the time. The worship guy says, verse 9, has God forgotten to show me some mercy? Or then he goes to that ultimate one. Well, I just guess he's mad with me. See it? Look at there. Has he in his anger withheld his compassion from me? This is about as raw as it gets, okay? Has he withheld his anger from me? He's questioned God. He's questioned God's ability to fulfill his promises. He's questioned whether or not God had any mercy. And then the moment came, that transitional moment. And that's what's coming for some of you today. That transitional moment that he needed so much. Look at verse number 10. Then I thought. I thought about all the good things in the night. I thought about my worship. And then I questioned God. And then I thought, no, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand to me. I will remember, Lord, your deeds. Yes, I will remember the miracles. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. He remembered the miracles. How many are sitting here today and you know that God has done miracles in your life? And so he says, listen, I will remember the miracles of long ago. I consider verse 12, Lord, all of your works, and I meditate on your mighty deeds. You're a mighty God. Your ways, oh God. You see what's happening here. Listen, if you don't know this about the Psalms, it's one of the foundational principles that every student of the Bible needs to know. When you open the book of Psalms, the psalmists have a pattern, okay? What they first do in the psalm is they lament, okay? They pour out their soul. They complain. They get it off their chest. Come on, and you've seen it right in front of your eyes this morning. They get it off their chest. They lament. And then they say, wait a minute, what in the world was I thinking? I remember the Lord. And then they come out of that valley of decision, and they appeal to the faithfulness of God. They appeal to the faithfulness of a God who has been there for them so many times before. This is what I'm appealing to, he says. Verse 14, you're the God who performs miracles. You're the God who displays power among his peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters just saw you and ripped. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world like the 4th of July. Come on, somebody. The earth trembled and shook and it quaked. He recalled the history of the Lord and how God had taken a body of water and split it right down the middle and created a dusty, dry path for the people of God to walk across on dry ground. He put on a show, man. He spoke to his creation. Water, roll back! Just like that. And God just allowed. And then he's able to do what with the water? About the time those chariots get up there coming against them. Hey, waves reverse. And drowned them in the depths of the sea. Swallowed up the enemy. Listen, man, God can do it. He can do anything but fail. Look at verse 19. He said, your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God was faithful. He was right in the midst of his people all the time, walking with them, though his footprints were never seen. And guess what? As our worship team returns for just a moment, guess what? He's leading you today as well. The same God is leading you today. You know, I sit here and I look at Diane. Just a week ago, Diane was rushed to the hospital, kidney failure, put on machines, you know. It just didn't look good. And all of a sudden, Hersey calls me, hey, Pastor, I got to tell you something. Diane's home. Listen, the enemy said, you know what, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to stop your kidneys from working. But God is a God who does not fail. He's a miracle working God. Amen. He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. God is a God who does not fail. He's leading you, and he will lead you out of the darkness and into the light of his goodness. His name is mercy. His name is life. His name is healing. God is here to bless you today. He's here to encourage you today. I want you to, if you're here this morning, listen, I want you, number one thing I want you to do is be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Man, I know I came to church today, but Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you, I won't feel it. Can I just tell you something, just to be straight gut level honest with you? There's some Sunday mornings that I get up out of bed and Joy will say to me, you feel good about your sermon today? I said, what you mean? She said, what's wrong? I said, I ain't feeling this. She said, what do you mean? I said, and this is my words now. Somebody say, Pastor Wallace said this. Come on. I'll say, if I had my way, I'd stay right here today. Come on, y'all. I stay right here today. I wouldn't even get out of this king-size bed for nothing. But then you know what I think about? I think about his goodness. I think about his goodness. When I think about his goodness, and his mercy that the Bible says endures forever. I think, man, I can't feel like this. Besides all that, I got a house full of people that are coming in today, and they're looking for somebody to just speak a word to them today. Come on, somebody. They're looking for somebody to just fan the flames of encouragement and take them on a journey from darkness to light. What a privilege. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So she said, on the way to church, she said, You feeling good about your message? I said, ah, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go now. She said, where's that man I got up with this morning? I said, he's gone. Okay, he's gone. He checked out. You know, I say all that to say this. Those are normal human responses. I don't care if you preach or speak in tongues. I don't care what it is. The enemy will do everything he can to distract you and to get you off of the path that God has intended. Remember what he said to Peter? Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have turned back, okay, strengthen your brothers. I want you this morning, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes I battle. Sometimes I battle. You might even be okay today, but you just say, hey, sometimes I battle. I want you to just stand to your feet right now. Just stand to your feet, whoever you are. Sometimes I battle. Sometimes the enemy throws darts my way and it gets me discouraged. We're going to sing a song here in a moment, and I want you just to come, step out of your seat. Those of you that stood, just step out of your seat and come and stand in his presence. Lift your hands up and just declare. Let's declare the goodness of God. Let's declare the amazing goodness of God and receive an infilling, a download of the Holy Spirit to infuse you and empower you. And then listen, we're going to go back to our seats in a moment, and we're going to take a journey into missions for just a few minutes. It won't take but a few minutes. But I want you to just worship God right now. Come on, lift up your hands and love him for just a moment.
I'm known you as a friend.
of the goodness.
Oh, come on, clap your hands. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. The goodness of God. To this will I appeal. I don't care what the devil throws my way. To this will I appeal. I will sing of the goodness of God. Lord, the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is a good God. Hallelujah. May He encourage you, strengthen you for the journey. Listen, know this. You will reach those moments, just like this man. You will reach those moments where you will begin to question God. You'll begin to say, God, have you just took your hands off me? Are you sleeping? Do you not care? Has your mercy gone? What is up? You will question God. And you know, it's okay to question God. You know, I came up in a home where my grandmama said, oh, you don't ever question God. Anybody ever told you that? That's a lie from hell right there. Jesus on the cross, you know what he said? My God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross. So you can ask God those questions. Elizabeth Elliot, one of the greatest missionaries of all time. Elizabeth Elliot. Watched savage human beings brutally kill her husband. The people that he was trying to share the love of Jesus with killed him. And she wrote a book many, many years ago. And I've bought a bunch of them because I've given a bunch of them away. It's called Trusting God in a Twisted World. Answering the question, why? You'll never get an answer. You'll never get it. Why, God? Why have I had to bear this? Why have I had to walk it? Why don't my husband? Why don't my wife? Why? You may never get an answer. But you know what you're responsible for? You're responsible for faithfulness. Just be faithful to God. Amen? You're not responsible for outcomes. You're not responsible for outcomes. You just trust God, and you will go through hardships. But let those hardships come because they mature you. And I know some of y'all fighting maturity, man. I don't want to be mature. The children of Israel marched around that place for years. They could have gone into the promised land in 11 days. Just walk, just move, just walk. 11-day journey took them 40 years. Because they just refused to place their faith and their trust in God. And they wandered around the same old bush. Some of y'all are going around the same track you've been going around for 5 years and you're still on the same track. And until you just say, God, you know what? I'm going to trust you because you know what? You do not fail. I may not be the sharpest tool in the box, but you know what? I got a little more sense than I had when I was 40, okay? I got a little more sense than I had when I got a lot more sense than I had when I was 20, okay? I may not be the sharpest tool in the box, but I've been around this mountain a few times now, okay? Some of y'all been down, you ought to know the track, okay? You all know the track. So let's just go out of here today knowing that God is good no matter what. And He is going to take you from glory to glory to glory. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Now listen, Pastor Mike is coming to the platform. Would you kindly take a seat and give us a 5 to 7 minute window just to talk about what is very, very dear to our heart right here. And that is missions. Amen. I believe we're the church we are today because we have a missions heart. Praise God. Pastor Mike, thank you so much.
Amen. Sometime we go, sometime we sin. We're all about spreading the good news of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you this morning a couple that we got to meet, Bonnie and I got to meet yesterday, and and learned that we had some things in common. And so I want to tell you about a long-distance relationship. I asked, how in the world did this get worked out the way it was? Because we have a man from Chowan County region that ended up marrying a woman from Argentina, and he had to go down there to find her. What a track God put him on is all I can say. And I was thinking about, you know, here we are, northeastern North Carolina, all the way up here in central North America, and he has to go all the way down in South America. But yet, they settled there. God has called them to Nicaragua, somewhere in about halfway. I didn't look at the map and see, but I know it's somewhere in the middle there. So it's about just as far one way as it is the other. We have today Eugenia and Barrett Gibson, who God has called to minister, plant churches in Nicaragua. They have Elam here with them, and they have two other sons, Jonah and Nathaniel. Well, Nathaniel's the oldest, right? Nathaniel, about 8, and Jonah, 4. Is that correct? Okay. Anyway, they're getting a last little time with grandparents here before they leave. And so if you would, just welcome with me this precious couple who's going to share a little bit about ministry that God has called them into. Praise God.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Well, my name is Barrett Gibson, along with my wife, Eugenia. We have 3 boys, as Pastor was saying, Nathaniel, who is 8, and Jonah, who's 4, and Elam is only 10 weeks old. Or 10 months old, sorry. I say it every Sunday, and I get it wrong every time. But God's in control, amen. And God's called us to the mission field of Nicaragua. Pastor, I don't know if I told you, but I'm from Hertford, North Carolina, and New Hope, so we grew up together somehow. But it's amazing what God has done in our lives. And so I just want to share a little bit about my testimony. It was back in 2002 that the Lord radically changed my life at a healing crusade. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor, but we loved the Lord, but I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I went to this crusade at 16 years old looking for more of the Lord. And I saw the healings and I saw the miracles take place, but more than that, I felt the presence of God. And so I remember running down to the altar on a Friday night, and I gave my life to Jesus and said, Lord, use me for your glory. Use me for whatever you have called me to do. Save me, and I just want everything you have for me. And I remember the pastor beginning to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I said, Lord, I don't know anything about this, but if it's of you, I want it. And it was in that moment I was instantly baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. I felt a physical fire touch my body, and it came down to my toes, and literally a heat that burned off my body for that whole night and that next day even. And I knew that in that moment that God had called me to ministry. And so later I didn't know what that ministry would look like, but I would go down to Pensacola, Florida, part of the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry there, and the Lord would continue to touch my life there in a powerful way. And there I met a pastor who was good friends with some pastors in Argentina, and they were also experiencing a revival. And he said, I feel the Lord wants you to go to Argentina with me for this conference. And so I said yes, and I went down there. And at this conference, there was probably over 6,000 or 7,000 people there from every Latin American country. They had a tremendous hunger for the Lord. And so when they would call the altars, they would run as fast as they could, and they would even physically jump on the altars just to get a touch from the Lord. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me in that conference. He said, I've called you to be a missionary. I've called you to be an evangelist, and I want you to learn Spanish. I want to use you for my glory in Latin America. And so I said, yes to God, I would do it. I came back to finish school, and I began to fight with the Lord a little bit just because I didn't want to learn Spanish. Not that I didn't like it, but I thought it would be difficult and hard and wasn't really too good in school with that type of thing. But I said yes to God, amen. How many know it's just best to say yes when God calls you? So later I had an opportunity to go get my bachelor's degree and study abroad. And so I asked the Lord to send me back down to Argentina, which he did. I was able to go there to learn Spanish. I began, when I first started Spanish, I'll be honest with you, it was really difficult. I tried my best, but it didn't work too well. But the Lord had favor, and about 3 months later, I met my beautiful wife, Eugenia. when I met her, she spoke no English, and I spoke no Spanish. The Lord put us together. We used Google Translate to communicate, and I'll say sometimes it works good, sometimes it didn't, but we somehow are together today. And so one day I said, let's go for a coffee, not knowing how we can communicate. And that day, God did something supernaturally in my ears to understand Spanish. And I'll let her, I'm taking a little bit away from her part, so I'll let her share a little bit what God did. But praise God.
God bless you all. It's an honor to be with you today. Well, he took all my part. Pastor said what I normally say. So I always say it's amazing how the Lord did everything, how he knows everything, because I'm all the way from the south. He's all the way from the north. And now we are getting ready with our 3 kids to go to Central America. You're right. It's just right in Central America. And it's amazing how the Lord does everything, right? But when we met, I didn't speak English. I'm still working in, and I hope I don't lose it when I go to Nicaragua. But I didn't speak one word. He didn't speak Spanish at all. So we used the Google Translate. So that day we went to have a coffee to a place that have internet, because that was, it was in 2012, so we didn't have much signal there in Argentina in the phones. So this place was super noisy, but it was like everything was quiet all of a sudden. I could hear him. He could hear me, like nobody else was in the room. And he started to understand, I was speaking Spanish, and he started to understand everything about, I was saying to him, and also he started to speak Spanish to me, and he started to tell me about his calling, his passion for the lost, his passion for missions, and it was like, wow, because first he never spoke Spanish to me, and then it was exactly the same passion that the Lord put in my heart, so it was amazing to see what the Lord was doing there. And a few months later, we got married, so then we have our 3 kids, and we are super excited to do what the Lord called us to do. It was an easy path to get here, and we are so blessed. Thank you so much for today.
Well, Nicaragua is a beautiful country. It has over 6 million people, and yet 4 million have yet to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that's 4 million reasons why we must go. We have a heart and passion for revival and evangelism and just seeing as many people come to Christ as possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a heart to establish churches in areas where there may not be any. And so we have this unique opportunity to work with the National Church of the Assemblies of God of Nicaragua to purchase a tent that holds maybe 300 or 400 people, go into a town or community where there's not a church established, hold a crusade for maybe 10 nights, 15 nights, preaching the gospel message of Jesus. Number one, seeing people give their life to Jesus. And number two, believing God to perform miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. During the daytime, we want to do more discipleship training with youth, children, and adults. Maybe some of you can come and we can have a kids' camp or youth camp. Again, Nicaragua is a beautiful country, but it's also the most economical needed country in all Latin America, even next to Haiti. So many people know the condition of Haiti. Well, Nicaragua is very, very similar as well. And so we want to impact the community for Christ and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so we want to maybe pass out shoes, clothes, food, maybe bring a medical team, and just really love on the community. And that way we believe that the community will know that a church is being formed, that the church is there for them, believing at some point whole communities will come to Christ. And I think the most unique opportunity we have is really working with the National Church of the Assemblies of God of Nicaragua to supply pastors and leaders that have a calling for these areas. Maybe they're coming out of Bible college, or they've been pastoring for a while but feel called in these remote areas. But have them with us the whole entire time, whether we're there in the city for a month or two or whatever it may be, doing the crusades or evangelism or just showing compassion. Those that gave their life to Christ, we believe, as the Lord calls us to a new community to establish a new church, those that gave their life to Jesus for the first time will now have pastors and leaders that will continue that discipleship training. A church is formed. We believe it will grow, prosper, reproduce itself, even send out missionaries, all for the glory of God. We're thankful for you all and thank you for your support and partnership. This is our first time. We've been actually itinerating and raising our support for the last 2 years, and we're excited that we just got news last week that we're able to leave for the field, and so we're going to be leaving in 2 weeks. We're leaving in May 16th to go down to language school and everything. But we're excited for the opportunities that God has given us. And even though we haven't been on a mission field yet, my wife and I, we've had the privilege and honor to be pastors of evangelism and missions in Denver, Colorado, part of the Hispanic Church and the Assemblies of God. And we would go down to Cuba twice a year. And so I want to show a quick video just so you can get an idea of what we believe God will continue to do, but in Nicaragua. We would do a crusade there with maybe 800-900 people. We provide food, transportation, and preach the gospel message. We saw many people give their life to Jesus, many miracles, signs, and wonders. And so I just want to show that video. That way you can get an idea of what we believe God will continue to do, but in Nicaragua.
When night is falling, when fear is coming, still you're calling me. When faith is lost and my hope exhausted, you will be my strength. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. I've decided I'm not.
I want to see the people healed. And more than ever, I want to see people come to know Christ.
I feel it breaking out like an echo. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out like an echo. Echo in my soul.
Para poder ayudar a los hermanos que pescaban y también ayudar a la iglesia y al comedor de los ancianos que habíamos abierto.
God is doing great things around the world. Again, we're so thankful for you, your partnership, your support. Again, we're leaving in 2 weeks, but we are praying for the Lord to still supply us with another $2,500 in monthly support and about another $200. I mean, $2,500 in one-time giving and $200 in monthly support. And so if the Lord leaves on your heart to give, we greatly appreciate it. We love you all. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Mike. It's a blessing and honor. God bless you all.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Now it's between you and the Holy Ghost. I did get a word earlier that there was a couple here whom God has spoken to you in the past about monthly support, and you've never really pulled a trigger. Today may be your day. Don't miss the window. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your favor. We thank you, Father, that you have called us all into your kingdom to do works and greater works. Let us have a revelation about our own part, each one of us, that we might not miss anything that you have assigned us to do. So speak to us about what we should do today and what we should do throughout the next year. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may bring your offering. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Mike. I'm going to let you close out here in prayer in just a minute, but I appreciate your faithfulness to bring that word. Sometimes, you know, you might be struggling, you know, should I do this, should I not do this? But I'm going to tell you something, money given to missions is never a bad thing. It's never a bad thing because God takes what you give sacrificially and he can do amazing things. And I'm excited, you know, that you're from Hertford, North Carolina. Now, what did you graduate from Pequimans High School? Okay. I graduated from there in 1979. And I can't say no to you. I got to support you. So, you know, I mean, that's from my hometown, you know, and to see that God is still raising up people for ministry out of Pocomas County just encourages me. So allow the Lord to speak to you, and let's just believe God. I'm sure Pastor Mike's already talked to him about, you know, ministry opportunities for us to go there. And I'd be excited. I believe that we will see something come out of this as far as a physical, tangible participation. I believe that. I've never been to South America. I've been to 29 countries, but none of them are South American places. So anyway, I'm not saying I'm going, but I'm willing to send, all right? All right. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I am truly excited about our North Carolina missionaries. I really am. I am very proud to all the ones that I've met and we've had here. And I, too, really am, you know, excited about what God is doing through North Carolina, around the world, touching the nations. Amen. Let's pray. We're going to be dismissed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your favor that you've poured out on our lives every day. We thank you, Father, that you brought us here today to experience you. And we want to experience you continually. So we sow into your kingdom, Lord, with faith in our hearts that souls will be won for every dollar that is put into this bucket today. Let a soul be won in Nicaragua, and more and more and more. Don't let it stop here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be dismissed.